It's time for Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by All Energy Solar, a full-service solar installer in the Twin Ports, and by the Minnesota Power Energy Conservation Program, making progress toward a lower carbon energy future. In part two of a special multi-part series on green visions featuring artists exploring their role in the climate conversation, KUMD's Adam Reinhart talks with poet and musician Ben Weaver about how small gatherings of music and poetry have become an outlet for working through climate grief. The interview was originally recorded November 9th in the lead-up to Climate Generation's Band Together event, where artists, including Ben Weaver, shared their climate stories and inspired action on the climate crisis. The Band Together event happened last Saturday, November 16th.
'Cause we all live downstream. We all live down.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Green Visions on KUMD, Duluth Public Radio. Today, we're joined by Ben Weaver. Ben is one of the performers at the Band Together event put on by Climate Generation, a Will Steger Foundation. The event is an opportunity for people to come together and hear musicians perform and tell their stories around climate change. And we're very excited to have Ben here in the studio today. So, Ben, I thought we'd start. How did you get involved with the event?
Well, I've been doing a little bit of work with Climate Generation already. We've hosted a couple of climate grief writing workshops in which me and my friend Strong Buffalo, who's also a part of the performance of Band Together that night, who's a Dakota elder and poet, we've kind of used music and poetry to host these gatherings where we kind of open up space for people to talk about their feelings around climate change, but specifically kind of on the grief side and the like questioning and the processing part of it that I think more like the mainstream doesn't necessarily make time for because everyone is so focused on what the solution is. So we've been trying to process on or, you know, make time for the more confusing and troubling feelings to have a place to get heard or processed or, you know, just to come out because they keep getting held in.
And what makes music and storytelling a particularly good vehicle to talk about something like that?
Well, I mean, I think because it automatically unifies everybody because you're dealing with like emotional energy and vibration rather than, you know, policy or opinions or point of view. And I also think, I mean, like stories are so important because stories are, there is no time of stories. They're timeless in that sense. And so when you create something, whether it's a story or a poem or a song, but from that place of like timeless human metabolism and connection, then, you know, you have this ability to resonate with people in a place where you can't like a lecture or a series of facts. And I think that's that deep place within us is where we're all kind of yearning to feel connected and be connected from. So I think these types of gatherings or spaces or whatever you want to call them, I think concert is like too formal really because it's something else that's happening, but it gives people a chance to have this sense of connection with the climate, the earth, the community that everyone is, I think people are really craving for because it's a healing. It's a healing ultimately.
Yeah. And kind of along those lines, what are some of the feelings that people are coming into these gatherings looking to sort of talk about or explore?
Like the climate grief things I was talking about.
Yeah. Like, is there, you know, is it just, cause, I mean, it's a chord that I think strikes with a lot of people. The science is so compelling and clear, and it leaves a lot of people feeling hopeless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think a lot of, I think it's ongoing, and I think what's overwhelming about it is that it really embodies like the whole concept of what the unknown, because even with science and even with facts of saying, you know, the oceans are rising or the ice is melting and the temperature is rising, we don't have any idea what that really means, you know, in a like moment to moment sort of timescape, I guess. And so clinging to the solution, I think is actually my intuition and feeling about it, is that the clinging to a solution is actually what perpetuates the fear, because we can't imagine a solution, because imagining a solution puts us constantly in the future and not in the present moment. And it also separates us from climate change and sort of suggests that like climate change is something outside of us as human beings or outside of this earth that we have to treat. But it's actually, we are climate change. The earth is climate change. We're a part of it. It's a part of us. And so being able to be grounded and present in each moment and inside of ourselves and in the chaos or in the unknown, you know, if you go back and look at like old myths or stories, I mean, that's always where the next thing comes, is in sort of embracing the unknown and embracing the chaos, or like the warp and the weft of a weaving where the two threads cross. So I'm trying to create a space where that it can be okay to sit at the edge of a precipice and not know what's going to happen. That's what we're trying to do in those spaces. And that's what I'm trying to do with my music and my poetry, to kind of like, I don't know, like stir up the universe, like stir up the unknown, stir up the playfulness or the curiosity, and not so much focused on the exactitudes, because those are going to always remain uncertain unless you can be in the present moment. Does that make sense? I don't mean to get philosophical or esoteric, but
no, absolutely. And I think that there's, I think that a lot of the problems that we're facing are a result of this sort of Western philosophy of a lack of connection between humans and the earth, kind of what you were saying there.
Right.
And are these spaces then, as it seems to be, just an approach that's looking to shed away sort of the state of mind that created these problems and to look at it from a different lens?
Yeah. And I guess another way of saying it too is that rather than like, you know, getting a group of people together and everyone brainstorming about what the great solution might be to fix this problem, instead of looking for a solution, like looking for a change of direction in each of our own lives, where we can, like you were saying, shift away from this deterministic kind of thinking and into like a way of a sensibility that opens to a larger capacity to understand the connectedness and the relationships of not only like human to human, but human to plant and rock to plant and river to fish, and then all the way back to human. So I feel like it's less of a solution and it's more of a sensibility and a capacity opening and shifting of direction towards being able to like, you know, orient ourselves towards that sensibility.
How did you end up stepping into this? Was this a perspective that you always had, or has it sort of been building as, you know, I guess what brought you here?
I think that we are all connected. I think that is that's inherent, just like our value is inherent. But then there's things along the way that happen that ignite it or clarify it. And like, that's basically the constant journey of life and like evolving and growing, transforming, or whatever words you want to put on that. So, I mean, being connected to the the larger web of life, like other than human life, has always been a huge inspiration to me and a place where I take my information in terms of like how I want to relate to people and to the world. And then this path of like having it be more and more prominent and driving of the work that I'm doing, that's been just an ongoing thing, I guess. You know, I'm like, when I decided about, I don't know how long ago it was, about 8 years ago, to start using my bicycle as a form of transportation, then that was like another really big step in that evolution, because then it put me so much closer to all of the landscapes that I was singing about and that were speaking through me anyways. Mm-hmm. Now it's just become a way of life, basically. You know, these are the things that my gift has been asked to speak for, I guess. Maybe that's a good way of saying it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I really appreciate you bringing that perspective to it, and I appreciate you coming on today and sharing that with us.
Yeah, thank you. I think deviation is a beautiful word, and like the potential of change through deviation, and just like going out and putting your foot in the lake, looking at the stars, talking to your kids about, you know, creatures that are living in the dirt. Like that, I think that is some of the most profoundly radical things we can be doing right now. Not that like holding signs and protesting isn't important when we need to stand up for our rights, but I think that letting magic in however possible is probably some of the most radical stuff we can do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, thanks for your time.
Letting magic in is some of the most radical stuff we could do. Ben Weaver talking with KUMD's Adam Reinhart. Ben Weaver's a poet and musician, and this interview was recorded in the lead up to the Climate Generation's Band Together event. Green Visions on KUMD is made possible with support from the Minnesota Power Energy Conservation Program, making progress toward a lower carbon energy future.